Left the stage empty this morning because I thought Tim and the guys were going to be breakdancing for us. I was so disappointed to find out that wasn't the case. Hebrews chapter 11. You've probably heard the story of that young lady that got caught in a blizzard. She really didn't know what to do, and as she thought and prayed about it, some words of advice from her dad came to her mind. He said, if you're ever caught in a storm, in a snowstorm, wait until a snowplow goes by and then follow it. So she waited a while, and sure enough, plow came by. She pulled in behind it, followed him as close as she could for quite a while. Finally, the gentleman pulled over, came back to her car window, tapped on it. She rolled down a little. He said, ma'am, why do you keep following me? And she said, well, she reiterated what her father had taught her, and he said, well, okay, I'm done with the Walmart parking lot now. I'm going over to Best Buy. If you'd like to follow me over there. Now, the young lady did exactly what her father told her to do. It was good advice, but it was misplaced advice. And sometimes we do the same thing when we come to the Bible. We are looking for our father's advice, and it's a good word, but does it apply to our situation? I believe we ought to take the word at the word's value. It says what it means. It means what it says. We should take it literally as we can. But a lot of people are in the habit of cutting and pasting. They look into God's word and they find what they want to find. They take it out of context and they add it to their own little collage. And they've built this picture up of what they want, instead of seeking God for what he has in mind for them. And they barrage him with his own scriptures. And they say, this got to work because it's scriptural. I am quoting the Bible. But sadly, it's often out of context. And I bring all this up in order for us to breach a subject together over the next several weeks, maybe a month or so. And if I preach well this morning, I'm going to offend somebody. If I preach really well, I'll offend everybody. So we'll take a poll at the end to see who's not offended, and we'll try again next week. But there seem to be two camps, two states of mind in the evangelical church today. And how we approach faith and what difference faith makes in our individual lives. On the one side of the mountain, or the one side of the valley, I should say, is the word faith movement, where people believe that whatever you confess in Jesus Christ is going to be yours no matter what. What you need to do is figure out what you need, what you want, and then go to God and keep knocking away at his door until he finally opens that door to you. They will accept nothing less than an answer to their prayer as they're expecting to receive one. And God help you if they've prayed for you and you've not gotten better yet. Because they may even ask you pointed questions like, well, hey, how's come you're not better? We prayed for you, implying there must be something wrong with you because we prayed for this person over here and they're doing jumping jacks and cartwheels and you still can't get up off of the couch. And we need to be very careful with all of that. Then on the other side of the spectrum, we have people who have been wounded, have been hurting for a long time, and maybe they even just gave up on the whole idea of faith anymore. They prayed, they went to the people that everybody else went to, they confessed the same things other people confessed, and it's not working for them. It's not happening like it did for somebody else. And they may even be gun-shy. I read a quote from one lady who said, if one more Christian comes up to me and says they want to pray for me, pow, right in the kisser. And this is a Christian because of the expectancy that might come. So I wade into these croc-infested waters knowing that if we preach on faith and expecting what God is going to do, I might offend some of the folk who have been hurt along the journey and are just trying to find a word of comfort and sustenance for the day. If I preach on the comfort side of things, I might offend those who are saying, Brother, don't you believe in deliverance of the Holy Spirit? Yes, I do. And every once in a while, we have to emphasize one or the other. And that's good stuff. But somewhere we have to come together in all this to be whole, to be real, to be authentic, to be a church together. Some of our brothers and sisters, they need a word of faith. They need something that's going to encourage their hearts. And they're ready to face another day, ready to go after it. And others here this morning, they just need somebody to understand. They need to be heard. They need to be loved just exactly where they were, with no expectation that you're going to be more or whatever. Do you hear what I'm saying today? Most churches choose one side or the other. We're either going to be a knock them down, drag them out, or we're going to be a wishy-washy, comforting, no miracle kind of a church. And I believe God wants us to be both. He wants us to believe in the power of God to do anything at any time He chooses. And He wants us to weep with those who weep. He wants us to be a crutch for those who are weak. He wants us to have compassion. God doesn't do what we want Him to do all the time. God doesn't do what we want Him to do most of the time. But God is good all of the time. Amen. And we need to affirm whatever God is working in the hearts of our brothers and sisters. So that's what we're going to be talking about, and I hope I can talk a little bit fast for you this morning. We're in Hebrews chapter 11, and starting with the first two verses and then down to verse 6. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. And let's go to verse 13. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. So, Father, help us, we pray. Don't want to offend anybody, but maybe we all need to be offended today, to open up our vision a little bit further than what we have seen. We all tend to judge according to our own experience, and that is so limited. And we pray, God, that You will open up our peripheral vision to embrace others, Lord, on their journey, which You may be calling them to a different path than ours. So, God, help us today, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, of course, is known as the great faith chapter of the Bible. You'll learn more about faith in these verses than anywhere else in all of Scripture. And it's usually quoted in segments. People are looking for what they're looking for. They're looking for support for their own particular slant on things. And if you're a word faith person, there's a lot of material here for you. If you're a hurting person that needs some support and comfort, there's other verses that really fit into what you're experiencing. And just an observation from a guy who's been in the ministry for a long time, I find people line up according to their own experience. If you have received a miraculous healing, you tend to lean toward the word faith, and it's only natural to feel that way. You say, well, I was sick and I read a scripture that said, go and have the elders anoint you with oil. The prayer prayed in faith will make the sick person well. I did that and God healed me. Hallelujah. Everybody needs to go up and get anointed with oil and you will be healed. Well, everybody should come forward and get anointed with oil because that's what the word tells us to do. But it's been my experience that not everybody that does that goes away whole. Another person, I went to this evangelist, it was on a Friday night, you know, and so on and so forth. I came home healed, hallelujah. What you need to do is go to see that evangelist and get through that, and you're going to be healed. So if that's your experience, if God has miraculously done something in your life, you tend to believe in the miraculous and believe it's for everybody, and it is, and it isn't. And if you're one of those people who has been sick for a long time, and you've been to every evangelist God created, and you have been through so many services. You've been anointed with so much oil. You got that greasy look to your scalp, and it's just, you're still struggling. You're still struggling. You tend to lean the other direction, and you have found strength in Christ, and God has helped you one day at a time to have the strength to see it through the day. Though you've been in pain, though you've struggled, you gravitate toward the scriptures that say, my grace is sufficient for you, and my strength is made perfect in your weakness. And you learn those things, and you accumulate those things, and we tend to minister to one another according to what I have experienced, and you got to be very careful about that, because God may want to do something in somebody else that he hasn't done in you. He may want to do more for them. And if we're going to be a good minister, we need to be open to what God's will is, not particularly our own. And Hebrews chapter 11 brings us back together. Because Hebrews 11 actually has three parts to it, not just two, not just victory side and a suffering side, but it brings us all together. And in this first part, we're going to study these three things: a definition, an admonition, and a circumstance. And those were our three verses four verses that we pulled out of chapter 11. There's a definition of what faith is, there's an admonition to have faith, and then there's a circumstance we all fall into no matter what we're experiencing. As the weeks come off, we're going to look into a part of chapter 11 that talks about all the victories, wonderful victories people experienced. They conquered kingdoms, they killed giants, they got the dead back to life again. I mean, it's just tremendous what God has done. And then in another week, we're going to study the other end of that, where people of great faith suffered tremendously. They got conquered. They were put into prison. They were tortured to death, but would not give up their faith in Christ. And Hebrews 11 brings it all together, and it's telling us we're all in the same family. We're all part of the same kingdom. And we'll rejoice with those who rejoice. Hey, the giant got killed. Hallelujah. And we'll weep with those who weep. Uh-oh, the giant won today. You know, I'll drag him back, drag our brother back home, and we'll help him dress his wounds. And it all comes together for faith. So do you hear what I'm saying this morning? We tend to choose the part of the gospel we like to hear. We want to hear what scratches our itch. And we have to hear it all, because God ministers in different ways to different people. He answers our prayers in different ways. So first of all, the definition. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is being sure of what we can't touch or feel or see just yet. Faith is that hope that what God has said, he will do. Now, Paul told us where faith comes from. Faith comes from hearing. And hearing from the Word of God. When God speaks to you and you believe it, it's as good as if it's already been here, as if it's already arrived. That's what faith. You need to have faith, because we move on from there to what God is expecting out of us. Now, a lot of people, their definition of faith is figure out what you want and pester God until you get it. God, I want this. And God, I want, why can't I have it now? So-and-so got it. And we just pester away. And that is not faith. God is not obligated to respond to whining. I know, because I have whined an awful lot in my life. And it's never worked with God. He does not negotiate with terrorists. Well, God, if you don't do this, well, then I'm going to hold my breath. He doesn't respond to whining at all. He responds to faith. Faith always begins with God. It doesn't begin with us. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. It's what God has said that sparks faith in us. That is something that I can believe in. Someone hears a word from the Lord, they confess it, they trust in it, and it's good. It satisfies them. It gives them the strength they need until their miracle comes, and their miracle indeed does come. They have heard from God. They have claimed it. They have lived by it, and it is theirs. We had an example of that some weeks ago. Bridget Hinkle had been diagnosed with a return of cancer in her thyroid and gone through a lot of tests and so on. She stood up here in front of the congregation and she said, "The Lord gave me a word. It's what he spoke to Hezekiah when Hezekiah got sick, and God said, I'm going to add years to your life." And she trusted in that. Then a couple weeks after that, she came in, she said, "Hallelujah, all the therapies and everything work. I've been healed. I don't have any more cancer." And I think she's at the beach enjoying herself today. So thank God for that. She heard from God. She got alone with God. God spoke into her life, and it was good. Now, what happens after that a lot of times is people take what somebody else has chewed on for a while, and they expect it to work for them. Now, I remember there was a lady in our church. She had thyroid cancer, and God gave her this verse of scripture, and she trusted in it. And so I'm going, now, no matter how much you work that thing, you can't get the flavor out of it as when it was fresh. You didn't hear from God. You heard from Bridget. How many know there's a difference between God and Bridget? Yeah. God's a lot taller. I'm sorry, Bridget, if you're watching online. That must get so old. But it's true. And if you're trying to trust in God, one thing you need to do is stop taking everybody else's advice. Don't follow that evangelist. Don't read that book. Don't take that scripture. Get alone with God and say, "God, speak to me. I need to hear from you. I've heard from everybody else, but Lord, I need a word from God in this thing." And if you'll remember back further, Bridget first came forward and she said, "This is what I've said to God. What I said to God was, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not asking you to heal me, and I'm not asking you to not to heal me. This is on you. I am putting my trust and my faith in you. You do as you please." What a great heart. What a great heart. And it wasn't the next week she came back and said, "God spoke to me." A problem with us Pentecostals is we talk too much. We talk when God isn't talking. And we should shut up until God says something. But we don't want to look unspiritual. We don't want to look like we're not in tune. If Jeremiah could take 10 days before he got a word from the Lord, how long could it take us? And so sometimes we just need to be quiet and sit before God for a little while. You need to hear directly from God. Is the scripture still the scripture? Absolutely. Well, why can't I use the one that Bridget used? Well, remember that illustration of the lady in the snowstorm? Good word, but wrongly applied. And that may be the case for you. God has a plan for you. And he has a good plan for your life. And I can't tell you what that is. I can't presume to tell you, well, because he did it for this one, he'll do this for you too. He's going to do something great for you. But it may look nothing like what he has done for somebody else. It's okay to let him know what you desire. But then listen to what he desires. Say, "Oh God, I yield to you." Now the admonition in verse 6 is, "And without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." So God says, you got to have faith. Have faith. It's not que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. Get along with God. Pray it over. Have faith in God. Believe that he exists. That means right now, right here, he is here with me. And he rewards those who earnestly seek him. He rewards those who go to church a lot. He rewards those who read a lot of Bible. He rewards those who does good things. No, well, yeah. But mostly he rewards those who earnestly seek God, I seek to glorify you. So whatever that takes, healthy, sick, life or death, whatever glorifies you. Storm heaven and don't give up until you hear from him. That's your birthright as a son or daughter from of God. You have the ability to hear from God directly. Storm heaven, stay at it until he speaks to your heart and you know, this is my word. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. Okay, God, I receive that. Give me this day my daily bread. Help me to continue on from here. And the word you receive might be transitional. It might be just for today. You're really hurting. You're really weak. You're really struggling. But it gives you enough for today. Daily bread. You know, when I was a younger Christian, I thought, man, trials. You know, you could have a really hard one that lasts like a week. And now that I'm old, I'm appalled that trials can last a lifetime and longer. I have seen faithful men and women of God that I don't hold a candle to struggle with such depth of difficulty, expecting any minute now the heavens to split and God to come down personally and make it all right because this is a saint. And I've seen him go to heaven before their trial was cured. This whole stuff is so much more awesome than I realized as a young believer coming into this thing and expecting, like popcorn, the miracles are just going to fly. Often they don't. I've seen the miracle of a young brother or sister facing death and seeing the joy of the Lord in their life and the way they've been able to minister to others in powerful and profound ways. I've seen Christians who will not enter into that. They'll stand outside. They'll rebuke. When I was a youth pastor years ago, my wife and I went to visit an older lady who was dying of cancer. And they were a sweet older couple in the church. Everybody loved them so much. But the husband was just mad at her. And you could feel that in the room. And he believed that if she had enough faith, she could get up out of that bed and just go home with him. And what could have been the most precious moments of their married life, him helping to walk her home, there was this discord there. Because it's not what he believed, it's not what he expected, it's not what he wanted. It's not up to us, friend. It's not up to us. If it was up to you, you'd be healthy. Everybody you loved would be strong. Be clear-minded and be able to do things better than ever before. But God has his ways and God will be glorified through it all. I love it when sick people pray for sick people because it shows me they still believe. I've given you the illustration before when I was a youth pastor. I had a sore throat, wasn't feeling very well, went to church that morning, prayed for a lady with shingles. She went home without the shingles. I still had my sore throat. I don't understand. You know, I don't heal anybody. God does the healing. God does the work. He does it in his time. She wasn't a believer either, and I didn't think that was quite nice. Wait a second. I'm a son. God will do what God will do when God chooses to do it. I love also when people who have been healed can comfort those who are sick. Because they understand that God's up to something. He's always up to something good, but it may be different than what God has done in me. And we need to stop expecting out of people what people cannot do. Stop expecting out of people what people cannot give. It's not my job to goad somebody anywhere. It's my ministry to put an arm around, to embrace and affirm. And if there's one thing that chronically ill people need, it's to be affirmed. It's to be loved. It's to be reassured. You're in this body too. We haven't forgotten about you. You may not even be able to make it to service, but you're our brother, you're our sister. We love you, and one of these days we're going to be on the other side, and we're going to dance with you, and it's going to be such a joy. It's going to be such a blessing. Paul had what I believe to be a disease in his eyes. I could give you the scriptures, but I won't take time. If you need that scriptural backing, Send me an email. I'll send you the scriptures. We'll review them together. But here's a guy with trouble with his eyes praying for a cripple, and the cripple is healed. And he goes on and he prays about it again and says, God, why do I still have to struggle? He says, my grace is sufficient for you. And keeps moving forward. It's my job as a believer to load my guns for when I'm ready to pray. And I'm hunting for bear. So if you've been suffering for a long time, you're going to have to suffer with this preacher praying for you sometimes and believing for a miracle right then and there. Our God is an awesome God. I don't believe that 20 years of disease is a problem to him. I don't believe that anything is too difficult for him. There's nowhere his arm cannot reach or his power cannot touch. And when I pray for you, I believe it's my job to pray in faith, and I am praying like the miracle is going to show up, like right now. That's the kind of praying I want you to pray for me when I've got difficulty, when I've got trouble. Pastor Dippold was one of my pastors when I was 10 to 12 years old, somewhere in there. His son and I were best friends. We did a lot of stuff together. And Pastor Dippold, a couple years back, it was prostate cancer, and it became more advanced and was very difficult. And I was able to get a hold of him on the phone one day. And I said, Pastor, just wanted to pray with you and let you know we love you and appreciate all you did for my family and I. And he said in a very weak voice, oh, Joel, do pray for me. Perhaps God will hear your prayer. And perhaps God will heal today. And it was a privilege to pray for him. God didn't heal him. God took him home and so on. But I appreciated the faith of an old pastor. He'd been through so much. He had lost so much. But to the very end, he knew God could touch at any moment and was open to the prayer of this young buck and lifting him up in love and in prayer. The Bible says we're supposed to ask largely that our joy may be full. And so we pray with this faith expecting. Now catch this. Do not be duped into thinking your prayers aren't powerful just because your body isn't. Don't be duped into thinking your prayers aren't powerful just because your body isn't. Some of the most powerful saints we have wrecked bodies. Their bodies are just about useless now, but their spirits are soaring. Doesn't the Bible say, when I am weak, he is strong? When I am weak, he is strong? And some of the greatest word you will hear sown into your life are from those who have struggled the most and had the most difficulty in life. So when you can't get out of bed, you can pray. Don't let the devil whisper into your ear, oh, look at you, you can't even this, you can't even that. Oh, watch out, devil, I'll give you a black eye today. Yeah, you can pray and move heaven and earth. Finally, we come to that set of circumstances we all experience together, and that's in verse 13. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. Healed or not, nobody gets everything here on earth. You will not get all the promises of God this side of heaven. If you've had some, and probably we are all a mix. Probably we have seen some tremendous miracles in our life, and probably we have crossed some very long, dry deserts in our life. We've tasted a little bit of both. And we thought that we could dance through this desert just like we danced on the mountaintop, and we found out, this dance don't work here. And we're learning both sides of this equation. That there are times we hear from God and we can declare it, and boy, we are set free. Hallelujah! And there are other times when it seems like the heavens are brass and it is so dry and dusty, we don't know if we can endure another day of what we're going through, but we find out in it all, God is sufficient in it all, through it all. Healed or not, unless the rapture occurs, every one of us is going to die of something. God heals, but not always. Sometimes the healing comes in the form of stepping onto the other side. And as much as they'd like to convince you otherwise, the word faith, people, can't keep you alive forever. So be careful with that. There we go. Worship team can come back. The people of God have an eternal view of life. Soon and very soon, we're going to see the King.
Amen.
No more crying there. We're going to see the King. No more dying there. We are going to see the King. No more pimples there. Anybody going to miss pimples on the other side? They don't exist in heaven. Hallelujah. You know? It all will be all ours. So if you're healthy and strong this morning, you're going to be even more fit on the other side. If it took everything you had just to get to church this morning or to join us online, oh, friend, there's a day coming. Woo-hoo! It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race when we see Christ. Statistics tell us that 50% of people deal with chronic pain in one measure or another. 50%. We all act young and healthy. We all act intelligent. That one doesn't fool anybody, but the young and healthy seems to. 50% of people dealing with chronic pain in one way or another. But we all like to come to church and act like it ain't me. I'm one of those Christians. I'm one of those overcoming saints. I never have a down day. No, never. That's why they made espresso. Nah. We kind of take turns. We kind of take turns being caregivers and care needers and all of those things. And we all have our stuff. And when my stuff becomes agitated, I may need a good swift kick in the butt. But let God give it to me. Not you. Let God be God. Let's pray when we pray like we believe, because we've seen God do some amazing things. But when we care for somebody who's wounded, let's be real careful with our words. Let's be real careful with our scriptures. Let's be real careful with our prayers. That we're not expecting out of them what they cannot do for themselves. And that they know they're still a very vital part of our body. Would you stand with me this morning? I have found myself a hiding place.